The Favorite Teddy. Every child has a favorite teddy. That one little bundle of wool they just can't live without. People write poetry about their first love, but that's normally a fleeting experience that ultimately breaks your heart. Your first teddy stays with you forever. For the discerning toddler about town, a good sleeping teddy cannot simply be purchased from a shop. It has to tick several important boxes. Firstly, the appearance. It needs to have some serious miles on the clock. Take a look at a brand new teddy. Now, imagine that box-fresh, innocent bear has been squatting in a crack den for 7 months straight and you're getting close to how it should look. Ideally, it'll also be covered in stains of all shapes and sizes from the three major sources: gob, bladder, and backside. These must be of assorted vintage, some still damp and others matured to a pleasant crust. The scent should evoke a peculiar combination of revulsion yet comfort. Lastly, it absolutely must have an appendage of some kind that can be jammed into one's nose. I cannot stress the last part enough. Of course, their favourite bear doesn't just appear in this state. It matures over time, only gaining the mantle of favourite teddy as it slowly deteriorates in appearance like an alcoholic ex-reality TV star. Rachel and I bought them both monkeys, but as with their clothing preferences, they had slightly different reactions to their new toys. Zach didn't care for his much, but with Ben, it was an old-fashioned boy-meets-teddy love story. He took Monkey everywhere with him and would hit the roof if we gently suggested that Monkey might want to stay home while we popped out. We had a few false alarms when we temporarily misplaced Monkey, but he'd always turn up. We joked that he was part homing pigeon and that we should enter him in races. One night we were back at home after a trip staying with Rachel's mum in the Midlands. Good night, Zach.
Bye-bye, Dada.
Good night, Ben.
Monkey.
Don't worry, son. I'll get Monkey. I looked around the boys' room. Nothing. Under the cots? Zilch. Our house always looks like a search for something is in progress anyway. Upturned cushions, coats on the floor. Rather than helping, this makes any investigation for lost property virtually impossible. Feeling like a burglar in my own home, I casually roved around the house hoping to spot Monkey's dishevelled little face. When I found myself back in the bathroom for another quick look behind the toilet, it became clear this search was proving as difficult as the annual haystack and needle challenge at the local home for the blind. Where is that cheeky little monkey? Moving downstairs, I turned over cushions and checked behind the fridge. Babe, where's Monkey? I called to Rachel. Ben was starting to cry upstairs. I emptied a full basket of washing onto the floor. Where is that little rascal? The moment a casual little search for something becomes a frantic, shit the bed, where the fuck is it panic scramble, is the exact moment it becomes impossible to find anything. Your brain becomes mashed and you need to talk yourself back from the ledge. I'd misplaced my passport once and the feeling was eerily similar, although back then it only meant I'd miss an expensive holiday. This would mean no sleep for us and potentially the entire street. I opened all the kitchen cupboards and started pulling the pans out. Then I started throwing stuff about the house, waving my arms about like Mr. Tickle after a bag of whiz. The boys were both crying upstairs. Where is that stupid swatting thing? That's when I looked at the bin. Overflowing. Disgusting. The only option. Let's dance, motherfucker. I shoved my hands in it like it was a tombola for tramps.
Babe?
Rachel was patting my shoulder.
What? Babe, slow down. What is it? Have you found him?
We've left him at my mum's.
She shoved her iPad in front of my face. Her mum was on Skype, holding the bastard in front of the screen.
Monkey!
The way she was holding him by the top of his head whilst wearing a very sombre expression was reminiscent of a kidnapper issuing a ransom demand. I'm sure Liam Neeson's character in Taken would have dealt with this better than me. I just fell to the sofa and shouted, "Oh, bollocks!" in a high-pitched, somewhat camp voice. I started putting my shoes on.
What are you doing?
I'm going to get him.
It's a 200-mile round trip.
If this was Hollywood and I was the hero, at that point I would have mumbled, "Then I'll see you at dawn," as I slipped on my Ray-Bans and leather jacket to go off into the night. But neither of those things were true. So I kicked my sensible shoes back off and, having what I considered at the time to be a brainwave, grabbed Zach's monkey. Knowing full well that Ben wouldn't buy that this perfect specimen was his soulmate, I opened the front door and drop-kicked it into the garden. Ideally, I'd have liked to have tied it to a chair and put a few cigarettes on its face, but then I remembered that this was an innocent teddy and not some tough suspect I was trying to crack. It still looked impeccable, and now the shit-eating smile on its perfect fluffy face was beginning to irritate me. I was just about to put it on the driveway and reverse over it a few times in the car when Rachel shouted that she'd given Ben part of his favourite jigsaw and that had done the trick. Deep down, I was a little disappointed that I didn't get to do it. What kind of a monster had I become?